A values-based life starts here. Welcome to In Conversation with Heartlines, a show where we try and help you do what's right so that you can fix the things that are wrong. Welcome to another episode of In Conversation with Heartlines. And today we are going back to the origins of what we do at Heartlines. At Heartlines, story is at the core of everything that we do. However, there is another organization who has put story front and center of everything that they do with some of the most amazing results. So joining me today is Dave Kruger and John Humphrey, who are part of I Am Second. John and Dave, welcome to the platform.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Very happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you guys here. And let's just jump straight into it. I Am Second. What is I Am Second? How did it begin?
Well, I Am Second has several different meanings. There's the phrase I Am Second, which can easily be defined as putting God first in your life and others first in your life before yourself. And that really is fueled from an individual believer's relationship with Jesus. And so by following the ways of Jesus, we're able to go ahead and live a life that puts the purposes of God and the needs of others ahead of ourselves. So that's the phrase, but how that came to light in terms of a ministry and into storytelling really dates back to 2008 when our ministry organization, E3 Partners Ministry, which is based in Dallas, Texas, met with a supporter of our ministry who had a heart for missions. And he told our team that he had been doing international missions for many, many years, but he wanted to go ahead and reach out to his own backyard, and he wanted to do it in a unique way, and he would want to partner with us to do that. And he asked, could you help him? And so we said, sure. And our team took a week and came back with a concept that really centered on storytelling, showing authentic stories of individuals who had a relationship with Jesus and presenting it in a way, at that time, a fairly unique way of using the advertising to drive people to the internet, where they could see short films of these stories and then connect people with next steps to build a relationship with Jesus. And when we presented it back to him, he said, I'm all in, and I want to do this in the Dallas area. So we went ahead with the project, and using the internet as our platform for these films, and certainly was reaching the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas. But then it also was reaching everyone else in the world because it was on the internet. And very soon we found that people from all over the world were finding the stories and getting, and we were seeing impact in their lives. And we were receiving the feedback back that this was resonating with people. And it's been a 14-year ride here of seeing how God has really taken an idea and used it for his glory.
And now let's get into that, because I'm sure initially you thought, okay, Dallas, this is where it's going to make a big impact. And then all of a sudden, it's global. Were you prepared for that? Were you prepared for the success of the very short stories that people were telling and how it actually just literally went viral?
We had the hope that that was going to happen. We certainly did. We felt and could see the impact even on people around us. And we knew that wherever people were located, they would also be impacted. The storytelling is so universal. A good story cuts through all sorts of barriers and obstacles and reaches down and touches a person in their soul. That's been true over the ages. That said, from an infrastructure standpoint and a ministry standpoint, there was only so much we were going to be able to do personally ourselves to reach people around the world, and we for that matter in Dallas-Fort Worth. And we always felt that 90% of the impact from I Am Second was going to be handled and through the efforts of other people who came in contact with it. We felt that we could generate interest, that we could maybe encourage someone to use it as a tool to share it with others. But the real ministry impact was going to be coming one-to-one through people that encountered the films.
And speaking of that, like, you guys have spoken to and really high profile people. Was their buy-in instant, or it took a while for people to see, you know, it's starting to gain momentum and people only jumped on board when it gained momentum? Or were there like the E3 partners who were like, you know what, I'm in from the onset?
Well, you've got several questions there. You made the comment that it was just high profile people. And certainly we have some people who are well known for one reason or another already in life. But from the beginning, we felt it had to be married not just with celebrity or well-known folks, with people that could be a story that was universal. You know, when someone goes through cancer, when someone has lost a child, when life has been rocked and they feel like they are at the bottom of the barrel and don't know where to go next, those resonate regardless of whether the person has been a celebrity or the person lives next door, or could be like a person that lives next door. And so we have at least 40 to 50% of the stories that we share are people that are not well known for something they've done in their work or a celebrity aspect of it. And that's been true since the beginning. So that was one question that you asked. Remind me of the second part of it.
Did people get on board with the concept quickly?
Right. I think what was inherent from the beginning was we've always relied upon suggestions from others and word of mouth. And yes, we needed to go ahead and to film a couple of people at the beginning just to show that this was a viable concept and a viable way of doing it. But it was so apparent that once you saw the concept that people gravitated and really wanted to have their stories told. I would say though that there have, you know, like from the beginning, and it's true now, probably even more now, is in the era of how Christians are sometimes painted by others. In some cultures, and increasingly in Western culture and in the US, being a Christian can provoke attacks. And the idea of being canceled by being transparent and telling your story, it keeps some people from sharing their testimonies, particularly some of them in high profile positions who don't want to have their work opportunities taken away from them. And that's something that we see. So it's not an immediate acceptance of the opportunity to share your story with others. It's careful thought and prayerful thought as to the best time and the best place to go ahead and do it for some of these people.
Dave, let me bring you in here. Yeah. You are part of I Am Second South Africa. Tell us a little bit about I Am Second South Africa. How did this begin? When did you see the I Am Second project and think, hey, this is huge?
Well, it's interesting you say I Am Second South Africa, because it was I Am Second South Africa up until about a year ago. And what's actually taken place is we've actually changed the name to I Am Second Africa, because we really want the reach to go even further, and so it's not just this. We are in a bubble in a country. We just want to reach the entire continent with the infinite power of story. And so how it all began with us is I'm very fortunate and honored to be able to be in this adventure together with my wife. So Donna and I came across I Am Second 10 years ago, where I was watching YouTube at the time, and we realized that we had a greater calling to go out into ministry and to figure out what that actually looked like. And while I was on YouTube, came across the story of Brian Head Welch, who's the founding member of the heavy metal band Korn. I love different genres of music, and I was in the headbanging kind of part of my life, and I saw Brian's story, but I actually thought it was a music project of his, and so as I looked at this, at the time we were still trying to figure out what kind of angle we wanted to use or where we felt that we were being called into. And as I double clicked on his store on this video, I realized that it wasn't a music project. It was his story of his life as a heavy metal artist and a life filled with drug addiction, drug abuse, and a lot of different problem areas. But then how he found Christ and how his life changed around, that he made a bunch of really big decisions in order for him to move forward in life. And as I saw the story, I realized that this was something that needed to be pursued. And I started double clicking on a whole bunch of different I Am Second stories, and found, as you alluded to earlier, well-known personalities, people that you know, Lecrae, Propaganda, guys that you know, have some sort of influence, big influence in life. But then there were also stories of the person next door that John spoke about that had just as powerful a story as what Brian had. They might not have had an incredibly large turning point in their life. Their lives might have just been this consistency of just having God in their life the whole time, but it didn't make one story more powerful than the other. Every story carried equal authority and power based on the fact that when you put God into the equation, it just makes the story even more impactful, because it becomes personal. And if that's part of your personal story, then that in itself carries equal power. And so at that time, we just knew that this was something that we needed to take. First of all, get permission from the States, and it was a big thing. I think for many of us Africans, when we want to get involved in something, we immediately think that this is a big money grabber. How much is it going to cost, and that kind of thing? And so we did ask those questions. You know, how much is it going to cost for us to do that? And the response was your time, because every person that volunteers or is with I Am Second is a volunteer, really. And so if this was the avenue we were going to take, we were going to have to make some serious decisions going forward. And so we did, but they gave us full access to all the videos and allowed us to get in touch with different churches and different schools and different events, and wherever we could find an opportunity to actually present these stories, they said, go ahead, do it, and report back. And that was how the relationship started, was just getting areas where we could actually go and share these stories with, reporting it back to Dallas. And you know, the relationship slowly built up. We had no idea what we were doing in the beginning. We just knew that that story needed to be told. And that's how it's taking place. I don't know everything now. We still have a couple of chats about getting it right, but I think we do a lot of legwork here in South Africa and in Africa. It might look a little different to America, but the essence remains the same, that it's the sharing of story, because our stories matter. You know that as part of Heartlines, that every person has a story. It's made us uniquely who we are today. And when you can get the background of that story, and when you can start conversations with people by sharing stories and sharing our own personal stories and journeys with each other, that's when we bridge the divide that is historically been our constant divide in this country, and it's actually brought us closer if we are willing to take that step, listen to each other, share our stories. And for us, from I Am Second perspective, is that when Christ is involved in that story, why wouldn't I want to share that? Because it's personal, and that's intriguing. And so 10 years later, we're still here. We're sharing story wherever we can go. We talk about taking Jesus into unexpected places. So we've been into some crazy, crazy places. Different denominational churches all around South Africa and into Africa, different schools, prisons. We even have presented I Am Second at beauty pageants. And and so it's where there's an opportunity, we'll grab hold of it, because we understand that the importance of what it is to share your story. But for us, it goes a little bit further as well. Sharing story means going into sharing the gospel, which we believe is the greater mandate for us.
Now, at Heartlines, we really believe in the power of story in helping us to understand one another better. And when we understand one another better, like you said, we hopefully begin to bridge those divides that exist. Let me come to you, John. How has that aspect of story, how have you seen the impact of that aspect of story and its ability to bring people together in the US, which is also, you know, unfortunately also divided along so many lines? Has story helped bridge gaps? Have you seen a marked difference or a change in maybe ministries and denominations who are using story within their ministry?
Well, let's start first with concept of story in general. We know that that takes place because we see it in pop culture, that when people are going to a movie or they're moved by a particular book, that does cross all lines, and it does give, it brings something entering into the popular conversation that people can rally around and share what it is that's going on. So we know that happens in pop culture, and that was one of the reasons why I Am Second wanted to enter this space, was how could we develop some approaches to topics that people are talking about in pop culture, but show it from a little bit different perspective and get people to stop and think. And so that's really one of the best things of involving people who are well known, because you're already using their position in pop culture, but they're introducing topics that are more spiritual in nature. And it's stopping somebody to stop and think and say, oh, okay, wait a second. This person here is thinking or speaking spiritually or about topics. And, you know, that's crossed my mind as well. And it doesn't matter what age they are or what, you know, whether they're man or woman or, you know, come from a different cultural background, it's still going to speak to them. So we know that that happens there. Where we do see that, it's probably the best incubator where we see that happen is in youth groups. Because, you know, a youth group is always looking for something that's going to attract the attention of their students. And their students are dealing with all sorts of different things in their lives, and they're coming from different backgrounds. And they come and they see that in, you know, and they watch it together, not necessarily separately in their rooms, but maybe they're watching it as in their youth group. And it fosters those conversations. And we've seen some tremendous things come out of that. We've seen that happen in secondary schools and colleges as well, where groups have just sprung up on their own and taken it on their own into the classrooms. And student-led, I Am Second small groups. We have nothing to do with it. All they're doing is utilizing the films online for their own outreaches. And that crosses all sorts of borders. I think those are the best the easiest examples for me to cite right now. There's tons of others of how people gravitate to it and then utilize that for impact to bridge those gaps. But I think it really comes down to fostering a conversation that can be had from what is in the films and then using the films themselves in their own spheres of influence. But it definitely happens.
Dave, have you seen changes like this as well as you've been rolling out?
Absolutely. You know, we've had report backs of going into, John spoke about youth groups. I think the next generation is really, you know, who we're really wanting to influence because, you know, I think there's, when you talk about pop culture, there's a lost culture almost in younger people, almost like a hand-me-down mentality and a quick fix mentality as well. And so everything's relatively fast-paced. But when you can actually just take that step back and just say, hey, listen, we need to go back to basics. We need to understand what life is all about. We need to understand that being the next generation that's literally got our country in their hands, all their countries in their hands, you know, we need to be sure that we're equipping them the right way. And so what we found is when we've spoken at different youth meetings, youth gatherings, different schools, we found that what's been left behind and what they've continued with is we've heard reports of small groups being having been started in those schools where at individuals that have taken the stories and have actually used the stories themselves, you know, in terms of going to share it with their families and encouraging their families. Perhaps one has had a parent that has struggled through something in their life, either it be an illness or an addiction or just needs some sort of encouragement. And what they've heard at that space, in that place, they've been able to take it back, and we've heard reports of families' lives being changed based on the sharing of those particular stories.
Well, I would think that, Dave, that one of the things that we share and we see that happens very, very many times is in the sports world.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, just think of a team and who comprises a team, and they come from all sorts of backgrounds. Yet all it takes is for one person to have some I'm second wristbands to start a conversation. And then that moves to the next step, which is introducing them to a film.
Yeah.
And then before we know it, there's three or four or five of them that are gathering together. Mm-hmm. And a year later, the culture of that team has changed.
We saw that with a professional rugby team. So we've spoken about youth and we had had some time spent with the Lions rugby team around about 2016, 2017, and that allowed us to have a greater partnership and engagement with SA Rugby themselves. But just in the internally within the framework of the Lions Rugby Union, where we spoke to all the players, they all started wearing the I'm Second wristband, and we started seeing this popping up during weekly games, televised games, and this allowed players to actually start speaking about their faith through the story, because the questions were asked, well, if you're second, you know, who's first? And so those players have it was at a time where the culture in the team started changing around, because they realized that it was even though they wanted to play and they wanted to win and they wanted to become first, but there was something greater and someone more powerful, someone that actually gave them the talent in the first place to be able to play that the game that they love. And so they were able to direct people and start conversations of why they were number one, why they were second, number two, to the platform where they could actually research and look at more stories as well. And as we started seeing that happen, we started seeing a closer brotherhood in the team. Mm-hmm. And we actually started seeing, if you can remember back, there was a 3-year period where the Lions were almost invincible. After every single game, they spoke about what drove them. the story behind this, and it gave them a great opportunity to talk about why they were wearing the I Am Second wristband, what these stories meant to them, and what their relationship with Christ meant in the midst of this, and why, in fact, even after winning, they still proclaimed to be second. And so that was a really big deal for us, and it was a wonderful time. And many of those players have since signed with teams overseas in Japan and the UK, and even in Major League Rugby in the States. And they are still wearing their wristbands and still sharing stories and their own personal journey and their own personal stories with others, directing them again to the website, where we've actually had these players contacting us and finding out, hey man, I'm struggling in this area. Are you able to just be with me to assist me in a specific area and to move forward with me? And so, we've seen mass impact with regards to story through testimony.
And that's it for today. We hope we've left you inspired as we learn and grow together. To continue this conversation and to connect with more values-based content, visit our website at www.heartlines.org.za. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Heartlines ZA.